This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. You've got a long way to go. Straight talking, no nonsense words about Detroit from Stephen Ross, native Detroiter, University of Michigan benefactor, and one of the nation's most influential developers. He was talking about Detroit's transformation in a rare interview with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. So, Daniel, you get a rare chance to talk with Stephen Ross. He doesn't do many interviews. What kind of guy is this man who's worth $6.5 billion?
It's easy to talk to, I think. He's got a real fluency with the issues around here. He is the nephew of the late Max Fisher, a very famous philanthropist here in Metro Detroit. So he knows the area, went to Wayne State Law School, went to Michigan undergrad, and as you pointed out, he's, I think, if not the largest, one of the largest donors in Michigan history, having donated over $300 million to the university.
So he took a driving tour of his hometown. How does Stephen Ross see post-bankruptcy Detroit?
Well, I think he sees it with a kind of a cold eye, and I think that kind of comes through in the piece. I mean, he says, look, there's some things that are going well. He says, God bless Danny Gilbert, as he calls Dan Gilbert, for what he's doing, but he can't do it alone, and he can't do it just in downtown. And he's really focusing on kind of the realistic issues that I think other people are when you talk to them about it. You've got to create incentives for people to want to move into the city. It's got to be more than just downtown. You've got to be able to have jobs. And he and I talked a little bit about that, about the difficulty of employing certain kinds of people in Detroit and who is coming into work in Detroit. And I think he sees this as a long-term challenge. His company is doing some of the largest developments in the United States, one of which in New York right now may be the largest development ever undertaken in the history of the country. When I asked him, and he loves transformative projects, and when I said, what's more transformative than Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, actually, we are beginning to look at potentially doing something there, but I don't think it would be anything on the grand scale. I mean, if you look at the portfolio of companies and the investments that they do very high-end developments in places where there's a lot of people with, frankly, a lot of money.
Which is not the case yet. And it almost, as he talked to you about needing to make Detroit a live, work, and play place, that in order to do that, you need more private sector jobs and better services in the city's delivery. It's almost like a chicken and egg thing, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And I think he's absolutely right. I mean, you see with the efforts of Gilbert and Bedrock and what they're doing, they are trying to create a live, work, and play environment in downtown. But it's a much longer thing. He uses the word deliverables. I'm not even sure if that's a real English word, but he says that they basically, you have to have deliverables. And what he means by that is the kind of city services that people feel safe, that the garbage gets picked up, that, you know, the basics are provided by the city. And as we know, they've just gone through bankruptcy and they're really now starting to make some traction on that. For example, with streetlights and things like that. So there's a long way to go. And I don't think that he would sit there and say, you know, Detroit is there. He's not rah-rah about the whole thing, which I think is kind of encouraging, frankly.
Yeah, he's, as you write in your piece today, he sees flashes of revival downtown and in Midtown. So there are, I guess, encouraging signs, but don't ever think we're there yet.
No, and I think anybody who really knows these issues, from Mayor Duggan to Dan Gilbert to people who work for him, everybody knows that. That's not a secret. The problem is, in this state, we tend to approach this issue in a kind of a bipolar way. And what I mean by that is you're either rah, 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 or you take the other attitude, which is nothing's ever going to change in Detroit, ever.
Yeah.
And I don't think either one of those are correct. And I think people need to be more realistic and understand that this is not a destination, but it's a process. And as a word he used, and it's a word I've used a lot in trying to talk about these kinds of things, that what's happening in Detroit is a process. And is the process moving forward or is it moving backward? And I think in the last couple of years, we would say that it's basically moving forward, and we got to keep moving in that direction.
You also talked with Stephen Ross about sports at the University of Michigan, where, as you noted, he has donated more than $300 million. And also in pro sports, of course, we know he's owner of the Miami Dolphins, which makes him Ndamukong Suh's new boss. Start out with what he wants to do to end bullying and racism in pro sports.
Well, about the time he was doing the driving tour in Detroit, news broke of a bullying incident on the Miami Dolphins, where a guard by the name of Richie Incognito was sending racially tinged text messages to a teammate, Jonathan Martin, who was also an offensive lineman but younger than Incognito. And it raised this whole issue of racism in sports and bullying, and I think Stephen Ross, as the owner, saw that this could put a permanent stain on his franchise. And there are financial implications for that. There are societal implications for that. And he had just been in Detroit, and he says, you know, and driving around and seeing what had happened to the city that at one time he very much identified with, and he has family living in and around, he saw kind of a parallel there, the insidiousness of racism. And so what he's doing, and this is the first time he's talked about it publicly, is he's formed a nonprofit, and it's called RISE, the Ross Institute for Sports Equality. And it's going to be working with all the major sports leagues, and they expect to be naming an executive director sometime in the next month or two, and it would be based in New York.
And he says he told you he really wants to have this reach down to right when kids first start playing ball.
Right. He's all about role models, and I know there are certain professional athletes that don't like being told or expected to be role models for younger people, but I think some of us, or a lot of us, probably believe that they are, and their behavior can be modeled, and I think that's one of the things he's hoping to do.
As for Michigan's troubled sports program, Stephen Ross told you his $300 million in donations couldn't save Dave Brandon from being fired as athletic director.
No, in fact, he to something to the effect of, to show you how much they listen to me, I wanted Dave to stay. No, I think it's very interesting. What is really interesting about this whole thing, as you put it together over time, is you find out that a lot of the major players never knew each other. You know, Jim Hackett hadn't met the president until the president asked him to take on this job as interim athletic director. Stephen Ross said he never met Jim Hackett until the president decided that that's who he was going to pick.
And that's President Mark Schlissel. Yeah,
that's right. And so they put all this together. But I think the arc of how this whole thing played out is somewhat surprising. There were a lot of assumptions that Stephen Ross, particularly because of his NFL ownership and being a major donor, played a huge role in this and what happened, and it appears that he really didn't. Now, at one time when Jim Harbaugh was going to the San Francisco 49ers about 4 years ago, Mr. Ross was very interested in trying to get him to Miami. But when Michigan was looking for another coach here just a few months ago, he was not involved in that, so he says.
So the finger wasn't in the pie perhaps as much as some thought.
Yeah, and he ultimately decided to keep his coach in Miami, so it kind of became a non-issue.
Interesting stuff, all kinds of things, centered on Daniel Howe's conversation with Stephen Ross. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you.